Greetings and welcome to the Circuit Rider Broadcast. We're continuing our study in the book of Joel. And as we continue our study in Joel, we're in chapter 1. And we're going to pick it off up where we left off the last time. Joel chapter 1. Now, if you'd like to have a copy, you have any questions and comments, you can contact me at thecircuitrider@protonmail.com. That's thecircuitrider@protonmail.com. In Joel chapter 1, we're going to continue here, and we're going to begin reading here at verse 14. And we're going to go through this here and kind of read this off again, but I got several things I want to say, and then we're going to be in chapter 2. And we're talking about here the day of the Lord. Remember I said last broadcast that Joel is really speaking about the day of the Lord here. It mentions it of five different times. Verse 14, the scripture says, "Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all of the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord." Notice here the invitation. The invitation is, and we're going to see this here again. I mean, let's have a prayer meeting. I mean, something's going on. I mean, there's obvious trouble here. I mean, look at verse 15. "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty, shall it come." You know, the day of the Lord, in which this is prophecy, one day it's coming. And the idea of it is you know what, you think about this. I mean, the way people live and the way things are going, we have several verses of Scripture that, I mean, God warns people. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." I mean, what people think, I mean, they live wickedly, do bad things and so forth, and I mean, you know what, you think you're going to get by with it? I mean, "Be sure your sin will find you out." That's a verse of Scripture out of the book of Numbers. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all of the nations that forget God." We're in a day and age today to where it has, and everybody's talking about it. Everybody sees how bad the United States of Babylon is getting and going down. You see the government and the lying deception going on within the government. And how in the world can you ever think people telling the truth? We used to have a constitution. Yes, and I said that right. We used to have a constitution that we would hold up our, for those of us that were in military, we'd make a vow and say that we are signed up to defend the Constitution of the United States. Well, let me tell you what, when you have the government today, you have an administration that spits in the face of the Constitution and, you know, I mean, it's going contrary to what the word what the Constitution says. I mean, how do you expect the people to act? I mean, the idea of it is that, you know what, it's like this, and God gave an illustration within the precious Word of God. That's why people don't like the Word of God today. But let me tell you one thing. One day, their sin will find them out. Amen, amen. In verse 15, it says, "Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." Did you see the word destruction? Why destruction? When we look up the definition of the words, destruction is the idea of demolition, ruin. That's destruction. Why, you know what? This, I mean, Israel here, you know, the day is coming for Israel in the 7-year tribulation period. I mean, it is going to be a terrible time. It's going to be, and you know what? The idea of it is there's going to be judgment and the wrath of God poured out upon the earth. Amen, amen. And let me tell you what, when a nation turns its back on God, you can rest assured that judgment's coming, United States. Look what it says here in verse 16. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes, yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God? Why, back then, and this is from Joel, Joel made this statement, is not the meat cut off before our eyes? I mean, think about that. You know, the idea of it is when we think about the meat being cut off, the idea with food? I mean, cut off? Why, you know what? America's going through that here right now. All of this business and about the people buying up the foreigners and Chinese and others, you know, buying up the farms and so forth. And this government, this administration, making it so difficult upon farmers to be able to freely do what they have to do to grow the food so that everybody has food. And we notice that the food prices keep climbing and climbing and climbing. And pretty soon, buddy, just like spending all the finances and so forth, I mean, it's going to run out. It's going to come to an end. Why, you know what? God absolutely, you know what? He has a way of dealing with people and turning them over and to a reprobate mind where they can't come to the knowledge of the truth and think properly. Amen, amen. You know what? In verse 17, it says, the seed is rotten under the clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. Why, think about that. The seed is rotten. Why, you know what? Rotten, we know that, is putrid. It's decayed. It's ruined. And it's rotten. I mean, it's not going to grow under the clods. The garners are laid desolate. What's desolate? Deserted of God. Why, do you know what? Without God, there is no life. Amen, amen. I mean, you know, without God's blessings, I'm sorry to tell you, brother, sister, there will be no life. Why, you know, think about that. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. What is withered? That means it's faded away. Think about this. You know, when we don't have the Lord and we don't trust in our God, why, he's the author of life in every detail. In verse 18, it says, how do the beast groan? The herds of the cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. Why, think about that. The beast, why, your cattle, your sheep, you know, when you look about that, you know, where you get your meat, well, I mean, the chickens, you know, all of the other animals out there in the field, why, it says here the beast groan. Why, groan means a noise of affliction. Why, you know what? Why is that? Why, because of the idea that they're pastures. They have no pasture. What's the pasture for? The idea that you have the grain, you have the wheat, you have the grass for them to graze and to be able to eat and grow. And you know, you don't, when your pastures are rotten and ruined and they're not growing, why, where's the food for the cattle? Where's the food for the sheep and the oxen and the animals? You think about that. How do the beast groan? The herds of the cattle are perplexed. Perplexed means what? They're puzzled. They're intricate. The idea of it is they don't know where to go eat because they don't have any pasture anymore. They stand out there wondering where to go get something to eat. But you know what? When the pastures are all dead, dried, I've seen it many, many years ago when there was a great big drought. I've seen it down in Texas when the water, the rain and everything would there would be, there, and all you'd have was dry, withered grass. The pastures were not green. And you'd have these skinny cows, and the cows had to be, before they were completely ruined, they had to go to the auction and be sold off. And so what do you have? You don't have the meat and the supply and so forth going to the grocery stores. Why you think about that, folks? A lot of people don't realize this. God is in control. It says in verse 19, O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Why, isn't that right? When you have the pastures that are dried off and there's no rain, and what's going to take place is the forest fires, the grass fires. I'm sure you've seen some of this in the past years taking place. And it says here, they've devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all of the trees of the field. Why, what do we have in the trees? Why, do you realize what happens and takes place with all the trees being burned up? What happens to the oxygen and the clean air? Why, do you know, have you been to school? Have you learned anything about the way God has created this world, and how, and what are the things? What, how, where's your oxygen come from? How does it redo itself? Where, I mean, you know, the air cleans itself. You know, the idea of it is God has His way, and when these type of things happen, why, man gets in big trouble. And it says here in verse 20, the beasts of the field cry also unto thee, and the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Why, do you know what? Devoured means consumed, destroyed, wasted. Think about all of this. And buddy, you talk about a destruction from the Lord. Why, you know what? He's in control of when it rains, when it don't rain. Why, the Bible says that the Lord hath His way in the whirlwind. I mean, you know, God is in control. He's very much alive. But a lot of people today, you know why? It's they don't want to acknowledge the Lord. But one day you will. The Bible says, and every knee shall bow and confess Jesus Christ, Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen and amen. Now we're over here now in chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading here in chapter 2. I mean, I love this here because from chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, why, what we're going to look here and see is something that we're looking forward to. You remember now that we're dealing with the idea about a day of the Lord. But in chapter 2 here, why, and verses 1 through 11, we're going to see who this army is. And let's go ahead and begin reading here. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all of the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is at hand. A day of darkness, an explanation of the day of the Lord. It's a day of darkness, of gloominess. It says, a day of clouds, of thick clouds, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now, we're reading this here, and it's describing the day of the Lord. And here there's a people been brought up, and we're going to go ahead and dissect this here after we read this. And it says here, a fire devoureth before them, and behold them, a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains, shall they leap? Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter into the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before, circle the word, his army. Whose army? Why, it's the Lord's army. For his camp is very great. He is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Well, the answer is no one. Let me tell you, when the judgment of God comes upon this earth, brother, there's no human being that will be able to stand. Now, as we go ahead and as we look at this thing about the day of the Lord, we're going to dissect this thing, and we're going to look at this and study this out and see who in the world this is. I love this. The army here that we see in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, is obviously the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, what this is and what we can look at here is we can go over to Revelation and chapter 19, and I mean, we're going to read this over in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, because this right here is when the army comes down. And by the way, we know that the tribulation period in the book of Revelation, it is a 7-year tribulation period. And in chapter 19, we're going to go ahead and begin reading here, because this is so good. And this is how we study Scripture. Scripture is Scripture. Look in chapter 19, and we'll begin reading here in verse 1, where it says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation, and glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore." Remember the whore that we read about in chapter 17 of Revelation? And the false religion and the beast and so forth? Why, if you study your Bible in the book of Revelation, we're dealing with that. "For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And verse 4 of Revelation 19, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, as a voice of many mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. Who is that? That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen of the righteousness of saints. In verse 9 it says, And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See not thou not do it, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I want to stop there for just a minute and ask you something here. Do you have the spirit of prophecy? The idea of prophecy is telling future events, something that's going to take place. What do you know? The spirit of the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know what's going to take place. If you can absolutely say that when I leave this world, I'm going to heaven because you have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, why, you've just prophesied. And the idea of it is that a lot of people don't have that because they don't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible talks about that. You know, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. You know, a lot of people think that they can go to heaven by going to church or doing some good works or something of that nature, being catechized and homogenized and whatever else, you know, religious thing that you that the man has made up. Why, God said for you to repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, over here in the book of Revelation, you know, the spirit of testimony, the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy, you know, it's foretelling the future about you. Where are you going to spend eternity? Can you say? Now, in verse 11, it says, For I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Now, this is where we're going, and this is why I'm reading this, because here it is. Why, over here in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, why it talked about these people, these horsemen, and the people with these horses. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he sat upon him, was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. You know who that is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to look at this in verse 14. The armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen. Why, did you see that? White and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, with that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all of the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Now I'm going to stop right there, but the idea of this is I wanted you to recognize, as we read here about in chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, why did you recognize here that this army, why look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Why, in verse 11, it says, and the Lord shall utter his voice. Joel chapter 2, verse 11. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executed his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide by it? Why, did you notice that? Did you notice the all of these things? You know, about where we're talking about the chariots, about the horses and the horsemen, and how they come, and this army, and what it's all about. Why, do you know what? Here we are, and this is a reference. Joel is speaking now and describing here in the Old Testament, the prophet Joel, you know, about the day of the Lord. Now, we see this, but I want you to see a couple of other things here before we close here. In verse 12, notice what's going on. Therefore, also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Now, who are we talking about here? The Jewish people, the children of Israel. Because the idea of it is the Lord Jesus Christ is coming down, coming back. It's called the second advent. And the idea of it is he says this, he says, you know, fasting and weeping with mourning, and rend your heart, verse 13, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a feast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck on the breast, let the bridegroom go before his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Now, I see that I've run out of time, but we'll get, on the next broadcast, we're going to go ahead and pick it up here, as there's a little bit more explanation on the day of the Lord. But I want you to understand something here, that you know what's fixing to take place is the idea that, you know what, it's going to be a destruction. It's going to be a bad, bad destruction. God's going to get the people's attention. God's going to get Israel's attention. And let me tell you one thing, although God is absolutely, the wrath of God is going to be poured out. Why, we know in the end, we understand that the children of Israel have got a wonderful day coming. Because all Israel shall be saved. They will repent according to the precious word of God. They will receive him as Messiah, as their king. And let me tell you what a wonderful day that will be. Now here we are in the church age at this point. And you know something? You can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You need to recognize that Jesus Christ suffered and died for you on that cross, shed his blood to atone for your sin. And my friend, the Bible says, as I said before, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him." You can go ahead and try to fool anybody and everybody that you want to. The Bible says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." And people don't like to confess that they're a sinner and that they're wrong and that they've done bad things. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's not a righteous person upon the face of the earth, the Bible says. No, not one. As it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. I want to tell you this. Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for you. And why don't you lose yourself a little bit and understand that you're a sinner? You know, there's a lot of people that absolutely go around trying to confess. Listen, I've known them, that they try to confess that they're saved. And you know what? You can't be saved and go around and live in the way you want to live. Oh, listen, there's not, even though we may be saved, the Bible says, and this is what Paul said, that's why Paul said, "I die daily." And what he was referring to, you know something? The Bible talks about it in 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We all, and that's not justifying what we do. It's just a matter of life. It's the way it is. In this flesh, we're going to sin. We're going to mess up. But let me tell you something. When you're truly saved, the Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You can't go on and live and hobnob in the world and be right with God or in fellowship with God. You can't. My friend, do you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? God help you to see the truth.